toetsika ny amin'ny resaka izay ny tata fampianarana mitohy momba ny filazantsara.
Good idea. Yeah. But this one must stay on your. Okay, that's fine.
One, two.
This one might have to be on as well.
One, two.
Yeah. Okay. I've been talking about what Jesus did for us. And he did three things. He atoned for our sin. He provided righteousness for us. And he gives us new life. Life by the Spirit. We've spoken a bit about his atoning for sin. I mentioned that the work of the cross was a military operation. Where Jesus came and rescued us from the devil. And he overcame Satan. And he gained a victory for us. But the cross was also a legal transaction. Where Jesus paid our sin debt to the Father. And we see it also as the formation of a new covenant. So that's all part of the atonement. Jesus dealing with the problem of sin. Sin enslaved us and put the devil in charge of planet Earth. And put us in debt to God. And Jesus came and he paid the price for sin. And he broke the power of sin. And so that's atonement. But the work of Jesus doesn't stop with dealing with the negatives.
It
doesn't end there. It's a greater work than that. Because he also came to provide righteousness for us. The gospel is very good news. When you go to tell someone about this, you're not just saying God forgives you. And you leave them there, still in their weakness. But you're actually saying God comes and clothes you in righteousness. Have you ever had a good bit of debt, you owed a lot of money. You owe lots of money. It's not a nice feeling. Well, the good news of the gospel is Jesus doesn't just cancel the debt. But he credits you with his righteousness, which is like receiving a lot of money. You were down here in a bad place. It's not just that you brought back to zero. But you put in the extreme of a good place. So Jesus, that's what I want to look at today. Jesus providing righteousness for us. The first text I want to look at is in Matthew chapter
3.
Before I read it, I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, as we look at your word, we want you to speak to us this morning. Open eyes this morning. May we see more of the goodness of your gospel. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So read through Matthew 3:13 to 15.
Ary tamin'izany Jesosy dia avy tany Galilika tonga teo amoron'ny Jordana. Dia nanantona ny Jaona izy mba hataony batisa. Fa Jaona nanda azy ka nanao hoe, izaho no tokony hataonao batisa ka ianao indray va no makatỳ amiko? Fa namaly Jesosy ka niteny taminy hoe, ekeo ihany ankehitriny fa izaho no mety amintsika ahatateraka ny fahamarinana rehetra ka dia nekeny izy.
Verse 15 is significant.
Tena manan-danja be ilay andininy fadimy ambin'ny folo.
Because Jesus says, I must be baptized to fulfill all righteousness.
Satria hoy izy Jesosy hoe, ekeo ihany ankehitriny fa izaho no mety amintsika ahatateraka ny fahamarinana rehetra.
He is already righteous.
Efa marina izy a.
Think about it. He's the incarnate Son of God. He's born without sin. He's never sinned. So what does he mean he has to fulfill righteousness? What is happening here is for us. Jesus is doing something for us. See, in his nature, he's righteous. But now, in order to become a perfect substitute for us, Jesus also needed to fulfill all righteousness as a man. From our side of the picture. Before God, man lives on earth, and we're supposed to live righteously. So Jesus, the God-man, represents man in living righteously. And so he gets baptized in a baptism for repentance of sin. Can you see he can't be doing it for himself? He's doing it for us. So if the guy who was dying on the cross, the thief next to Jesus, couldn't get baptized, and you think baptism is essential, he got to heaven because Jesus was baptized for him.
I'm
not saying baptism saves you. I'm actually hinting at the fact that you don't have to do anything in terms of providing righteousness for yourself. Because Jesus fulfilled it all. So the thief on the cross, he just looked to Jesus, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You see, in order to become a perfect substitute, Jesus lived as a man who's born under the law and needed to perfectly keep the law in order to impute righteousness to us.
So,
like sin flowed from Adam, Adam's sin was imputed to us.
Den fautany Adama napetraka nafindra tao amintsika.
Jesus as a man is the new head of mankind. And righteousness flows from him. So if you're in Adam, it's like standing under the fountain of sin. Like a waterfall
of
dirty water. That's what Adam gives you. But Jesus, righteousness flows from him.
Then farmarina na nun kurina fiam Jesus.
Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21.
Izay tsy nahalala ota dia efa nataony ota hamonjy antsika mba ho tonga fahamarinan'Andriamanitra ao aminy kosa isika.
There's the great text of substitution.
Yewa lay andin soratra masina lehibe momba ny fisoloana toerana.
It's a swap and exchange.
Ye mis fifanlora toerana ao.
He had no sin, but he became sin for us.
Izy lay tsinanota nefa lasa ota ho antsika.
So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So your righteousness is found where? Where do you find your righteousness? In Jesus. In him we become the righteousness of God. My righteousness before God is not found in me helping an old lady to cross the road. Anyone can do that. A person who doesn't believe in Jesus can do that. And they still go to hell. They still get punished for their sins. My righteousness is found in Jesus. This is a very powerful truth of the gospel. If you like, it's a grand theme, it's a grand theology.
You
see, to stand in a right position before God, it's not just dealing with the problem of sin. We must also carry a perfect record of obedience. Think about that. How does God see you? How do you see yourself? We so often think of ourselves still in the sense of being sinful because we still have a sinful nature. And even in 1 John it says if you claim you have no sin, you're a liar.
So
in one sense it's right to look at yourself and say, yeah, there's still
sin.
But the thing that the devil wants to do at that point is to tell you, yes, God sees you as a sinner. This applies to Christians. The devil wants you to think that God sees you as dirty. And that makes you feel like you must withdraw from God. But I can't possibly go to God. I've been a Christian for 3 years, maybe, someone thinks. And you know that since you became a Christian, there's still been some things in your life that you did wrong. And you think, you start to feel like God sees you as dirty. And you begin to behave like old Adam. Where you go and you hide away from God and you start to feel ashamed again. But what I'm teaching you today is that Jesus fulfilled all righteousness for you. So that when the Father looks at you, if you are in Christ, it means you are covered, clothed, robed in his righteousness. And so the Father sees you as clean. That's profound. I'm not saying that you can ignore the problem of sin in your life. We should still repent of our sin. We should confess and ask for forgiveness. But the abiding state that you are in when you are in Christ is that you are righteous in God's sight. And that because of Christ's righteousness given to you. If atonement, forgiveness for sin was all that was necessary, the scripture we used last week, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, if it was just that the Lamb had to be slain, Jesus could have died as a baby. You know, Herod was trying to, he heard that there was a king coming for the Jews. And after Jesus was born, Herod tried to have all the little boys killed. And Mary and Joseph took the baby and fled to Egypt. Now, if all that was needed was a sacrifice for sin, Jesus could have just been caught by Herod and killed. There's the Lamb of God slain. Maybe a one-year-old baby. It would have been fine. But instead, Jesus lived about 33
years.
Do you know what he was doing all that time? He was doing everything right. He was doing everything that you should have done. He was living a perfectly pleasing, righteous life. And of course, he didn't have to do that for himself. He was already the Son of God, holy and righteous. He He was doing it for you. So that when you stand before God, you can carry His righteousness. So whatever Jesus did right, which is everything, I have that credited to me before the Father. Do you see the glory of that position? That the gospel says, I stand before God holy. As if I've lived the best possible God glorifying life. I have that if I am in Christ Jesus. If you step out of that grace, you step a bit further out of the grace of God, you're still a Christian. But maybe you forget that Jesus is your righteousness. Then you start coming to God with all your effort. I've got to present God with some righteousness. What can I do? I'm going to kneel more often.
Look
how hard I'm working for you, Lord. And I must help that lady across the road.
Oh no,
a day passed and I forgot to compliment my wife on the cooking. Oh no. No perfect righteousness today. I'll try harder tomorrow. I set my alarm. But then my phone battery went flat and I slept in.
Never lost a low battery telephone. Nothing. Bola na turn yota kukun ray.
Oh no, I blew it again.
Ah, tena tatan raya.
I couldn't get up at 4.
Tava kan futam nifatan raya.
Oh, I'm such a failure.
Ah, tena.
The truth is, we aren't very good at producing righteousness. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do what is good. We should try our best to do what's good because what's good is good. But it's a question of where you're putting your hope. Jesus' righteousness has been credited to you. It kind of sets you free from having to produce something to pay to God as a
sacrifice.
Jesus lived his life on behalf of us. And he fulfilled the law in such a way that he's completed it. Perfectly. That means you, in a way, you actually don't have to do some of those things. You don't have to do a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. You don't have to sacrifice doves. And you didn't even have to smash your house down because it had mold. You know that fungus that grows on the wall of a damp house?
Because
the law says, if there's mold in your house, you must call the priest. And he must tell you to clean it up. And he comes back 2 weeks later or something. If there's still mold there, we have to smash the house. Aren't we funny about which laws we try to obey and which laws we don't bother with? None of you ever gave thought to smashing your house down because of mold. But many have thought a lot about whether they should obey the Sabbath. And some people are reintroducing the Passover meal. And they're calling Jesus Yeshua. They're selectively bringing in more and more law. More and more ceremony. But they're still picking and choosing because I don't see them smashing their houses down. The point I'm making is this: the law is an all or nothing thing.
Sorry?
The point I'm making is that the law is an all or nothing
thing.
Jesus said, if you fail in the least part of the law, you're condemned by all of it. So your only hope can actually be in Jesus fulfilling it for you.
And
if you want to go back to the law, then there's a whole lot of stuff you have to embrace. Some of these haircuts are going to have to change. See my point? You really don't want to go down that road. You really have a lot to be thankful for when it comes to the gospel. Jesus so completely fulfilled the law. For us. That Paul actually says we've been set free from the curse of the law. So we will never be condemned by the law. But does that mean we should be immoral, disobedient people? Not at all.
See,
the law is good. And Paul said in Romans, should we sin more so that grace abounds more?
No.
Not at all. See, the law was always good. It reflects the moral nature of God. God's holiness, His purity, His justice, His nature is being reflected in the
law.
So we should uphold the law. We should obey the law. In as far as the law is right and good. So by no means does grace promote sin. It simply tells us something. that God realized we would never be good enough. And so he met all the requirements in advance in
Jesus.
So now that I am justified and made righteous in Christ, it's as if I cannot fail. I can't lose in the end. I'm going to enter into heaven with all of Christ's righteousness. And in addition, whatever good things I've done are added to store up treasure in heaven. But if I stumble and sin, it will never stop me completing the race. You will never be disqualified because Jesus is your qualification. So now that I understand I have his righteousness and I will finish the race, if and when sin trips me up, what should my response be? Well, I've got Jesus' righteousness, so I'm going to finish strong. So I get up. Sorry, Lord, I messed up. God still deals with me because he sees Christ's righteousness. I say, I'm sorry for the sin, I repent, I leave it behind. And I continue the race. To honor God, to live for him, to worship him, to obey
him.
Because I have Christ's righteousness, I should never give up hope. I don't rely on my own righteousness, but I want to live a right life.
Satiza tsy miankina amin'ny fahamarinan'ny tenako.
I think I'm going to leave it there. I have more thoughts. But maybe next week we can continue on this theme. The main thing I wanted you to hear this morning is that the gospel is such good news. Because it assures us of a righteousness that's not our own. It's a righteousness that Jesus obtained for
us.
But it's only in Jesus. And if you haven't gone to Jesus and said, be my righteous covering. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. If you haven't turned from your sin towards Jesus, if you are not a Christian, you do not have his righteousness. But you can have it for free. He earned it for you. He offers it to you freely. You just have to go to Jesus and say, I want your righteousness. What do you give him for it?
You
say, here, Jesus, have my sin. Jesus says, here, have my righteousness.
Let's
pray. Jesus, thank you that you not only died for us, but you lived for us.
That
you lived to fulfill all righteousness. So that we could be credited with your righteousness. And we declare, Lord Jesus, that today we stand as holy in the sight of God because of what you did, because you have robed us in your righteousness. And for this, you get all the glory and all the praise. Amen.
Amen.